Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, I had the good fortune of grabbing a few days away with my wife, with some of our friends, and without our children. I love and am so proud of my kids. They're amazing. But for a couple days, it was nice to only worry about what I wanted to eat, what I wanted to do, and how long I wanted to sleep in. I got to read some trashy books, sit outside by the pool, and I got to catch up on a show that I had been meaning to watch for a really long time. It had been a while between the first and second seasons, and so as a result, I did something that I don't usually do. I didn't skip the recap. In this era of streaming television, there are usually a few minutes before each episode begins where they try and get you up to speed on what's happened so far in the season. The first show that I remember doing this with some regularity was the show 24 with Kiefer Sutherland. Remember that one? It would always begin with the clock ticking and it would say previously on 24. And I'd always skip it if I could because I'd watched it the first time. I knew what had happened. And I was eager to get to what was next. I don't need a recap. I was there the first time. But for whatever reason, as I was sitting on the plane, I didn't skip the recap. Maybe it was because it had been a while since I watched the first season, and some of the details of what had happened so far were kind of fuzzy. Where I wasn't quite dialed into all of the intersecting plot lines. Doesn't matter. This time, I watched the recap. And turns out, it's kind of helpful. I was reminded of all kinds of things that I had forgotten. I saw things from a different perspective. And I noticed some things that I missed the first time around. Turns out I'm not as good at remembering things as I think I am. And I think there's a way in which these first five verses in the book of Acts feels a little bit like a recap. And we might be tempted to skip it. Truth be told, I wasn't that excited to preach it this morning. Yeah, book two, written by some guy named Luke to another guy named Theophilus. All the things that Jesus said and did from his birth up until his ascension. Yep, got it, read it the first time. Resurrection appearances, kingdom of God, check. Wait in Jerusalem, John's baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm ready for what's next. Skip the recap. But maybe it's worth slowing down for a second. To recognize that everything that happened up until this point didn't happen in a way that anyone would have scripted it. It didn't happen in the way that anyone would have expected it. For example, who would have ever thought that the God who made heaven and earth and all that is in it would have ever decided that becoming a human was a good plan of action? Who would have ever imagined that God in human form would spend time, connect with, heal, and love the outcast, the marginalized, the unclean, and the sinful? Who would have thought that God in flesh would choose to live humbly, giving himself away for the very people that rejected him, offering his life to show how much he loves and cares for them? Who could have conceived of the inconceivable, that even death wouldn't be strong enough, powerful enough, to prevent Jesus from coming to us and for us? Today, we begin a new series of sermons that will carry us through the summer. Yes, we still have church in the summer. We'll be reading these big chunks of the book of Acts, which will detail the ways in which the early church grew from a small group of leftover disciples into a movement that would change the hearts and the minds and the lives of thousands and thousands upon thousands of people in the known world. But it's important to remember that all the things that happen in the book of Acts weren't inevitable. In fact, so many of the things that happened went against all of the odds. Because you see, the disciples were afraid. They were facing an incredibly powerful imperial force. The religious leaders thought that they had lost the faith, that they had betrayed the one true God. Those who were trying to follow Jesus found themselves in this kind of hinge point. And I think that's why this recap helps. It's almost as if the disciples, if you and I need to marinate in the precariousness of all of this just a little longer, it's worth paying attention to just how fragile this moment is for these followers of Jesus. Yes, amazing things had happened to them. Jesus had died. Jesus had been raised from the dead. Jesus had ascended to heaven, all in their presence. But their future was still profoundly uncertain. The world that they were living in was messy. It was complicated. And at times it was really scary. And Jesus had given them this big job to do. Continue my work, he told them. Baptize, forgive, care for this world and for one another. Love as I have loved you. It's beautiful. It's holy work. But who are they? Who are they to try and carry it on? They couldn't do it alone. We can't do it alone. So Jesus tells us to wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, over the next couple months, we are going to be encountering some pretty mind-blowing stories. Stories of dramatic conversions, of explosive growth of the church, of healings and boundaries between people being erased. And all of this might cause us to wonder, why isn't God doing this kind of wild stuff anymore? But if we wait, and if we listen, and spend a moment remembering what God has already done in our lives, we might begin to see the Spirit's work here now among us. Like today, where we welcomed more than 280 new people into the life and work of this congregation. We are now a better, more faithful expression of the church that God is calling us to be because you new members are here. Or how about the fact that week after week, these people show up They rehearse late into Thursday nights. They spend time away from work and family and other obligations, give themselves so that we can hear God's story of love sung for us, that they can lead us in worship. Or how about the fact that 60 plus high schoolers, high school seniors who will soon graduate, who are downstairs right now as we speak this morning for a brunch because they want to mark this moment in their life with their church friends, these people that have become their church faith family. Or what about the hundreds of meals that we serve each week, or the fact that week after week there are more than 300 middle schoolers that gather here Wednesday nights for confirmation and for sixth grade starter? Or what about the skilled nursing care and transitional care that is provided to so many people at Mount Olivet Careview Home and Mount Olivet Home? Or the life-giving support that Rolling Acres provides? Or the ways that you show up week after week in each other's lives, supporting, caring, loving for one another. And watch what'll happen in just a minute as we get to baptize two new people into God's family. This is the Spirit's work. And sometimes, even though we know it, we need to hear it again and again. We need the recap. We need to be reminded that God is not done with us yet, not by a long shot. God will continue to do incredible things in and through us for the sake of this world that God loves so much. So come, Holy Spirit. Amen.